Reconciliation is everyone's business. When Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission issued its 94 calls to action, number 92 called on the private sector to improve Indigenous participation in our economy. It called on businesses to do their part. This podcast is about responding to call number 92 and what you can do to make a difference. Reconciliation. Conversation. Action. Welcome to You and 92. Sponsored by Farm Credit Canada, Zastel, Morris Interactive, and K+S Potash Canada.
It's time to create some traction. No more words, let's get to action. In the shimmering lights we start. Great ideas to make a spark. It's You and 92.
Here's your host, Julianne Riston.
Welcome back, listeners, to the wonderful podcast, You and 92. I'm lucky to be joined today for our fourth episode with Nick Wright, Vice President of Marketing and Technology for EngComp. We're going to talk a little bit about call to action number 92, small and medium business community looking to engage, things that they can do, ideas, and really excited to introduce you today, Nick. So welcome.
Thanks, Julia. I'm glad to be here.
You're very welcome. So let's jump right in. So Call to Action 92 really does ask people to act on business engagement. So what does that look like, right? And when we talk about big industry, that's resourced. So there's ways to do that. There's money behind it. There's people behind it. But when we talk about the small to medium business community, it's often a bit of an ambiguous black hole of what should we do? How do we start? Where do we even look for the first steps? So I'm interested in your first take on the calls to action, specifically call to 92, and how it kind of moved itself into something that EngComp wanted to act on.
That's a great question. And I would think back, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when we started to look at to that call to action and what it meant. And what I've learned from them since then is just how companies come to reconciliation in a corporate way from several different angles. You know, so some may have, you know, clients that are saying you should pay attention to this, and that might compel them to do that. Some might come to reconciliation in a different way. And for us, it was our clients telling us it was important. And the biggest piece, and I know that you've talked about it in previous episodes, is the awareness piece. You know, that has been, you know, such a big, you know, thing for us. It would be one piece of advice that I've often given to other companies who have asked us about what we've done for reconciliation. And what's interesting, like I said, though, is how all these companies come there. So as you come to a path of reconciliation and start to participate in that journey, it maybe doesn't really matter what angle you're coming from, but that you're there and that you do start participating. And then once you are aware of the calls to action, and hopefully as time moves on, more and more people are just naturally aware of it, you can start to really look at what it says and then decide how your company can best participate.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in meeting people where they are. So mm-hmm. we think about kind of everybody's on their own journey of awareness of reconciliation, of wanting to participate. And when we start to get into that call of 92, we're actually asking people as part of their job to consider that action, that call to action. And not everybody's going to start from the same starting point. So can you tell me a little bit about the story of how you started moving this into the culture of EngComp and how you met people where they were?
Absolutely. And it's unique, I'm sure, but hopefully it is similar to others' journeys because it really is a journey. And so I can share a bit about how, you know, where we've come from. And a lot of it starts with listening and meeting people and listening. As a company who didn't have an active Indigenous engagement strategy to start, like I was saying, the awareness piece was the biggest piece. And really just learning at a personal level, you know, what the stories were and learning about the residential schools and learning about 60 Scoop and learning about the Wampum Belt. Really just kind of filling in some of those gaps that, you know, you might have had growing up where you've grown up and not having that education. So when EngComp heard that, and those of us who took, you know, awareness courses, and by the way, eventually part of our strategy is to give that awareness to all of our employees, and we've done that, which is kind of interesting because it sends them on their individual journeys. But rolling back from there to decide where to go from there, I would offer that there was some frustration at the start, and it came from listening to success stories, which sounds kind of strange. But I do remember listening to some success stories of companies who were doing well in the calls to action. They were building their companies and offering, you know, educational training and jobs to, you know, people from community. And I thought that was amazing, but I just couldn't really make a direct link to how we could do that at our firm. We're an engineering company, so you can't just magically say, I'm going to teach you how to be an engineer. It's a little more complicated than that. You have to go to school and be interested in that kind of thing. And we didn't have the deepest pockets. So, you know, just mass sponsorship and investments wasn't going to be our reality. But the more that I listened and more that I met people and started to surround myself with those who knew far more than me and had lived experience and had good ideas, started to see some interesting things that we could do. And those were the exciting parts. When we looked at Call to Action 92, you know, it's, I don't know exactly how many words it is, but I know that there's 11 things that you can do. So if you were to just count all the actions that Call to Action 92 provides, there's 11 things. And when you started to look at them, whether they were bringing awareness to, you know, your employees or recruitment and retaining, or even just anti-racism training for your entire staff, then things became a little bit more tangible and real. And so because we had a network, we had met people, you know, we looked at these calls to action, then we could start picking things that were right for us to do.
Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. And I'm smiling because that's so engineering.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's such an ambiguous space. And to really look at, so what do we have in front of us and how do we turn that into a plan of action? I really resonate with that. And I think it's cool to watch an engineering company approach it that way. So I'm interested in, you've done a few things with the staff that have been mandatory, mm-hmm. But, you know, mandatory soft.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give me an example of some of the things that you did? I know last year, I think it was, you had a program for your employees to take, kind of leading up to that Rock Your Roots walk, I think, is kind of the culmination of everything, I think. And you can correct me.
Sure.
But tell me about that, because you really did go pretty deep on that stuff.
Yeah. In that particular year, it did lead up to that event. But actually, that program is ongoing. Mm. So since then, we've continued to do that. And really where it started from was delivering that awareness training. We didn't deliver it. We had somebody come in and deliver that awareness training for our staff. And it really, you know, depending on the person's background, opened their eyes and made them think, oh, okay, I understand that there's something to do here. Then what we found was just getting together to talk about it and learn more. And so that program that I think that you're referring to was mostly about us consuming information as a group of people and then talking about it after. And sometimes we would just talk amongst ourselves, and sometimes we might have somebody come in to talk about it with us who might have lived experience or might be more qualified to talk about it. And what we found is that's where we start learning about things like OCA, and that's where we start learning about things like drinking water advisories and just the things that are around us that aren't always top of mind because we just don't know about it. And what we found is even though it's maybe mandatory light, as you might refer to it, there are some people who really just picked up on it and really wanted to talk about it and create a space where they could. And as a company, you want that. Like, you want to support your team to feel like they can learn and, you know, be vulnerable and explore these things. So every month we actually still do this, and we still decide that we'll consume a piece of information, whether it's a video or we read something or listen to a podcast, and then we just talk about it. Wow. Some people are communicating and need to get energy out by speaking, and some just need to listen, and it's okay to do both. So that's been a long-standing piece of ours that is just so, so important.
Well, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And that's ongoing. So that's every month.
Yes.
You're doing that?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you had new employees come in, like, to this process that are having to learn and be onboarded into that system?
Absolutely. For sure. And what's great about the awareness piece is that can be delivered in many ways. And it depends on the company what'll be the most relevant for them, whether it's in person or whether it's web-based or whether it's anything in between. But our goal would be for whenever a new person comes on, at a certain point, we have to get, you know, so many people that awareness training. So we'll give that to them so they still have the baseline training. What's nice to know, Julianne, is some people are coming with that.
Oh, lovely.
Well, you know, we had something like that at our last job, and that, to me, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. But we just want to make sure everybody's kind of got that baseline story, and then they participate as they would in the ongoing things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So you were nominated for a Chamber Award last year, or was it the year before?
Yeah, last year, I think. Yeah.
And so you had to go through a process of really looking in the mirror about, you know, where you've come from on the journey of reconciliation. Can you talk a little bit about what that reflection process was like for you as a company?
Absolutely. It can be frustrating, but also very rewarding. So as an engineering, you know, type, metrics are easy to understand. But I've come to learn that it's not always just about that. And sometimes it's just about the journey as well. And sometimes it's about the things that you're doing that aren't easily measured. And so that particular awards nomination was great in that it made me step back to look at, well, what have we done corporately? And most importantly, what did we say we were going to do? And what have we actually done? And what could we do going beyond that? So it was a really nice way to just look at those areas that we found could be most valuable to us and start to write about them. And then it became, you know, more of a piece about to be proud of, so that when I was asked, and I've been asked several times by other businesses, oh, we hear EngComp is in the reconciliation community or whatever that is. How do you do reconciliation? How does one reconcile?
Right.
And the answer is like, I'm sorry, but it's really hard to answer that. You can share what worked for you. But I, like I was saying before, I would just offer that listening and surrounding yourself with others is a key component. And then eventually you'll find the parts that make the most sense. So that award submission was a great way for us to kind of just tighten up what we were doing to make sure that we were in the right spots, and then kind of give us a vision for how could we grow that.
So you actually have a statement on reconciliation on your website, and it's quite robust, actually. For those of you who are looking to read the statement, engcomp.com, I believe, is where you want to go.
Or .ca.
Or .ca.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely go in and click in and take a look at that. Can you talk a little bit about how you came up with the robust kind of statement of principles that you have and the commitments that you're making publicly?
Absolutely. So when making that kind of commitment, we first wanted to make sure that it was going to be real. And it was something that we would be as proud to show our employees as anybody from the outside. So it needs to be able to face in all directions. And it needs to be specific enough to not be easily achieved. So if it's just going to say, we're going to be respond to call to action 92, that's not really specific enough. But you don't want to also just pigeonhole yourself into too many, you know, individual things. So our plan is one that we felt could be achieved in a meaningful way. It could be built upon. And that's part of what our commitment is to kind of do what we did last time, but a little bit more. And that was intentional. And just so that we could see it and we would understand that when anytime we do something in that space, does it, you know, attach back to this commitment that we've made. So yes, without being, we didn't want it to be more than a page. It needed to fit on a page that we could just set anywhere and say, this is what we do. It's something that we're asked for quite a bit by our clients. Please, please express to us what your Indigenous engagement strategy is. Yeah. And that's a piece that we can say, it looks like this.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about how the strategy itself aligns with some of your core business values? Because I think, you know, in the conversations that I've had with people about wanting to create a statement or some kind of outward-facing commitment, I often say that the best thing you can do is think about how that aligns with who you are as a company today, or how it will take you to who you want to be as a company tomorrow. So I'm interested in your insight on that, about, you know, did these align to things that you were already doing or things that really resonated with you as a company, or was it a blanket new set of statements?
That's a great question. I've never been asked that one before, so I'll take a go at it here. I think that what we came up with because it aligned with our core values. And a lot of the reason why we exist as a company anyways is because we really wanted to have an inward-focused company that was really paying attention to its employees and building a space that everybody would want to come and work at, like forever. you know, and be desired in the community and be desired in the marketplace and just have a company that you really wanted to be a part of. Technically awesome for sure, but also very inward focused. And so where we've kind of gone with our Indigenous engagement strategies and our calls to action are very people focused. Mm-hmm. You know, we respond well to areas in which we can interact with others, where maybe we can show students, you know, opportunities in engineering. We can be a judge at a science fair. We can go to a community to help them set up a 3D printer. You know, these are the pieces that, you know, those who are attracted to us as a company, they're attracted to those pieces of our strategy.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about the setting up of a 3D printer, because that's a good story. And I think that's a good, real act of reconciliation.
Yes. And what's really cool about it is it was so easy. And I really don't want to oversimplify things. And my apologies if I feel like I'm oversimplifying reconciliation, because I definitely understand, you know, what it is. But sometimes the smallest actions and the easiest actions are the ones that resonate. So there was a community that had purchased a 3D printer and they just simply didn't know how to set it up. It was just technically a little bit beyond anybody in community on how to do that. And we've had a relationship with them. We've had their artisans, you know, create gifts for us, so beaded lanyards and all that. And they just called us and said, hey, you're an engineering company. Would you know how to set up a 3D printer? Well, that's not our business, but we certainly employ those who are. So one of our engineers who's big into that, he builds and rebuilds arcade systems, said, oh yeah, I can definitely go to community and do that. So he went and did that. And now they can create, you know, things to sell and things to fulfill those lives. And for this person who it was easy for us to send somebody. That's not hard. And it was easy for him because that's what he loved doing, but it probably meant much more to those who could actually know how to use that.
Yeah. Do you want to give a shout out to the community?
One Arrow First Nation.
Yay, One Arrow. Yeah, their kids are amazing. So again, for those of you who are looking for inspired youth who are really into entrepreneurialism, really into creating products and pitching them, like they've been on all kinds of pitch competitions across Canada now.
Yes.
You know, that's something to really want to check out and take a look at One Arrow. So shout out to One Arrow. Yay, One Arrow.
Can I add one more thing about One Arrow?
Yeah, please.
I learned last year that they had a commercial kitchen that was, mm-hmm. that was fairly new, and they had had some people come in to, you know, train how to use it. And I also found that they had access to par-baked goods that they could finish baking. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that we were a couple of months out from our annual retreat, which involves a lot of hamburgers and food. And then I said, well, could you just make us all of our buns? And yeah, I think we could. And so they did. And so when I met up with them in Rostern to pick those up, I came to learn that they were extremely proud of the job they did, and they did an amazing job. And it actually, they needed it, because that happened during, there was an incident, you know, it's a tragedy that happened, and that actually affected their community. That person had come into their community for a moment and left again. And so it was really kind of weighing heavy on their hearts. And this maybe offered a bit of a distraction, and it was great. And plus they were delicious buns and cinnamon buns. And it was, again, it was just like so easy for something to do. And I think that's something that other small to medium businesses and maybe even large ones can kind of latch onto. Like there are opportunities that are so meaningful, and they could just be that easy.
Yeah. And like being a good customer to Indigenous companies is, you know, such a pivotal thing. And, you know, I think you touch on that with this story, because we all want to do something. Like, well, maybe not all of us, but there's a lot of us who want to do something. And I think about, you know, if you're getting gas and you happen to be driving past Creeway or past English River, like get your gas there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you're looking to create an event, like think about going out to Wanuskewin for your event, or the food, you know, like who are you going to? There's Bannock Express, the wonderful woman that runs that. There's Allie's Cakes, you know, for birthday cakes. There's lots of opportunities for Indigenous engagement as a purchaser. And I'm coming, of course, from the lens of procurement. That's what I do for a living. But being a good customer is critically important. And the small and medium business community is no different. You know, maybe you're not procuring millions of dollars of things or services, but you're definitely doing things with your staff, with your other clients. How can you make that an engagement into the Indigenous economy.
It's really important. And I know that you purchase big things at your company, but we purchase things as well. And I would just offer that there is room for small to medium business to be effective in that area. So for us, you know, we get all of our safety training done from an Indigenous business. We have an Indigenous business that does all of our office cleaning. We, you know, purchase artisan things from One Arrow, you know, for our staff. We purchase that bakery from them. And where we don't have suppliers that are Indigenous owned, we drag them along too.
Yeah.
So we have our IT partner was wondering, well, hey, Engcomp, we heard you're in this reconciliation game.
Yeah.
And so we talk with them, like, how can we do this together? And so there's lots of room to engage just more than, you know, your company.
Yeah. Yeah. And please, Nick, shout out to the janitorial company. Who is that?
I don't remember their name.
Is it Theoclean?
It might be.
Okay. Look for Theoclean, people.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And do you remember the safety?
Victory.
Yeah, Victory's great.
Yeah.
So exactly, there's those opportunities. And it's interesting how, you know, we sometimes fall back on, oh, this is too hard and I wouldn't know where to start and I can't find anybody. But that's actually not the case anymore. There's lots of opportunity to engage. And I think that's a great way to answer the call of 92. There's something that struck me. You, when I came for the Rock Your Roots walk with Engcomp during COVID, and you did it anyway,
mm-hmm.
Which was awesome, you actually had an elder there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the first time I've ever really seen a company with an elder so close to the work that they're doing and the things that they're engaging in. Can you talk a little bit about how you got to that and what that's meant?
Absolutely. And that really just came about because I'm trying to meet people. So when I met Andre, it was because I was at a Reconciliation Saskatoon event. And I was talking to Carrie with Reconciliation Saskatoon, and she knew that we were doing that walk. But she had also met Andre and knew that he was maybe looking for some, you know, different groups to speak to. And so she just introduced us. Mm-hmm. She said, I think you two should meet. And so we met, and I told him about what we were doing. And I asked him, would you be willing to come? And he said, absolutely. So I got to know him very quickly. And he came out and was very impactful to the staff, and you were too. And it's great to have people with actual lived experience, like I say, you know, come, you know, say what you think we should be hearing. And we've had others, you know, do that as well. And it's super important. And we were very lucky that, you know, I got to meet Andre that day and that he was willing to come, but you just wouldn't know, you wouldn't ever get to meet those people if you didn't just put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's taken years of just like going places and meeting people and just sort of being around and listening. Like, yeah, I am, you know, 100% European. I know that for sure, but I'm an ally in a bunch of different ways. And even just by listening, you know, and keeping your ears open and then meeting people along the way, you start to find these opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So if you were to give one piece of advice to the small and medium business community or a company that's looking to stick their big toe into this, what would you say?
My one piece of advice would be, it starts with listening.
Yeah.
It starts with listening. Yeah. And then if you could do that, then you can move to the call to action 92 and maybe check my math, but I'm pretty sure there's 11 things that you could say, I could do that, right? And then surround yourself with others and find community and find people, and you'll find it to be very welcoming, yeah. I'm sure. And then be patient and be diligent. I, in my lifetime, the credits won't roll and say, and that is how the world was reconciled.
Like
it's going to take longer than that.
Yeah.
So what my job can be is to set it up for the next generation of workers. Mm-hmm. The reality is there's a lot of young Indigenous people going to be coming into the workforce, and why shouldn't we all want to have the biggest access to a pool of resources? Like from a business standpoint, that just makes sense. So for us, that might mean educating students on careers in engineering. Mm-hmm. So it's listening, it's finding actions that make sense, and then it's having the patience and to stick with it. Because if you're looking for immediate results or payback, it's probably going to be frustrating, could be a little bit disappointing, but it's a year-over-year thing.
Yeah.
That's my one-word answer.
Well, that's a 11 things inside of one kind of deal.
Right.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
I appreciate that. Nick, it's been absolutely wonderful to talk to you. EngComp is a great company, really able to be flexible to do things that are kind of outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really cool to start to work with you and to understand a little bit more about your company, but particularly in this space. And you and I have had some great conversations offline about that. So thank you for coming and speaking on this podcast. And hopefully you'll listen to yours too, because it'll be good to hear yourself back and be really proud of what you're doing and what EngComp is doing and how open you are to just making something change.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure for sure.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
This has been You in 92 with your host, Julianne Riston, produced by the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce. Thank you to our sponsors, Farm Credit Canada, SaskTel, Morris Interactive, and K+S Potash Canada. Visit youand92.ca for more resources and information, including the Chamber's step-by-step reconciliation roadmap for small business and past editions of this podcast. Connect with the Saskatoon Chamber anytime at saskatoonchamber.com or through social media using the handle @thechamberyxe.
Time to create some traction. No more words, let's get to action. In the shimmering lights we start. Great ideas to make a spark. It's you and 92.
Theme song by Lancelot Knight. Produced at Sound Lounge by T-Bone.